In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Rodo Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Wall Street Matt Modica, the King Scott Engel, and filling in for the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, co-hosting the Fantasy Football Frenzy today as well. It's Mike Blue. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited to do this with you guys for the next couple hours.
This is why we brought you here.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. One of my absolute favorite people of all time to work with.
Really?
Thanks,
yeah, I love Mike Blewett.
He doesn't seem to say that about you, Greg.
No, he does.
What?
He says I'm his second favorite co-host of all time.
You know what I'd say to Greg Sussman about other people, actually? I say, there's nothing bad that I could say about the guy. There's two people in this world that if you say something bad about, you should be shot, and it's you and Nando DeFino.
Thank you. That's right. It's very, very kind of you. So we got it through Thursday night game. Blewett, if you want to get your thoughts on it, you obviously just joined the program. Now you'll be on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for the next 4 hours. But your biggest takeaways here from Thursday night football between the Chiefs and the Patriots?
Obviously, it's going to be a Kareem Hunt owner. Kudos to Matt Modica and a lot of people on this station that have jumped on board. I think if you have been listening to this network, you have owned Kareem Hunt in at least one of your drafts. We made it a point to say that he was going to be a big asset, and Matt was leading the way. So I'm also pretty happy, despite the fact that he may have a concussion, of the Amendola production.
Yeah.
So he was the guy that I was leaning towards more than I was Chris Hogan. I was totally impressed with Alex Smith. I think this may be more of a function of the Patriots having so many new pieces than anything else. I don't think it's a referendum on how their season is going to go. Although being over 12.5 is a lot more tougher this morning than it was
certainly
yesterday.
Certainly so. Let me give a takeaway as well here. It's not so much about the Chiefs and the Patriots. It's kind of about Twitter, and maybe you can call me like a Twitter troll or a Twitter like Nazi from this. Mm-hmm. What is the point if you were tweeting? And I don't know. I don't know if you did this, Matt. I'm specifically calling out Michael Florio for this, and I did it last night on Twitter. What is the point of tweeting out Kareem? Like, cool, dude. You're watching the same game the millions of us are. You saw Kareem Hunt run 75 yards.
I usually like just put like Hunt, period. I do that. I do that in baseball all the time, too.
Like, give me something. It's like, even like Frank Stanfield. Of course, I'm calling out my co-host and Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever, which you can listen to on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. At least Frank Stanfield gave a little ancillary analysis. Like, it wasn't good analysis, but it was like...
To be fair,
Frank tweeted out, maybe the Jets can really win the division.
Right, right. So that's a half-heartedly creative tweet, but like tweeting out, Kareem! Or, you know what that is? And here's the best way I can describe it. That's a Jake Seeley tweet. And you don't want that.
Sussman has gone full savage this morning.
He really is replacing the executive this morning.
I'm just saying. it's the truth. Tweeting Kareem, I will tell you, hold on. I will tell you when we come back from the break exactly the tweet that Jake did and then the tweet Mike Florio did. And then we'll, of course, get into all the rest of the headlines here around the NFL. Run Rush in the morning. We're rocking and rolling. We'll be back right after this. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Promised. Here are the tweets that I was referring to just a few moments ago. A man, Mike Florio, tweeted, quote, Kareem! Great. Sick. It's really been providing the analysis on Twitter by saying, Kareem! And then he did it again, and Frank Stanfield, of course, joined in and said, Kareem.
Like, great. I guess, they had him, and they're excited about it. You know, that's right, the so only you, way I can explain
but
it.
But you can tweet something like, I didn't go through your tweets, but I was reading your tweets, and they were like interesting to me.
Right.
This is interesting.
Basically, what you're doing is, I understand what you're doing here, and this is a peek behind the scenes at the Fantasy Sports Network. Greg is a veteran broadcaster and journalist, and Mike is doing very well, but he's still on the way up. He's basically saying, dude, put some analysis in your tweet. People are going to follow you. They just don't want to read Kareem.
Well, that's my opinion. So let me read you another Mike Florio tweet from yesterday. Not a fun night to be versing Gillisley. Versing? That's not even like proper English. Versing.
It's not.
Come on.
Yeah, that's tough.
By the way, Greg has scheduled a meeting with Florio at noon.
Yeah, it's actually at 11 a.m. It's actually at 11 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And then to follow that up, I told you it was like a Jake Seeley tweet. Jake Seeley is in his early 30s, and he said this. Hunt! I can't even.
Oh, my God. Hunt is so awesome.
No. I didn't even get the, oh, my God, it's so awesome. He literally said, Hunt, I can't even.
He sounds like a 13-year-old girl named Megan.
You do. I noticed Megan's your go-to.
Yeah. Okay, I'll switch it. A 14-year-old girl named Dakota. How's that? Yeah.
You got these really lined up. It's kind of scary, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God. I can't even.
He didn't have to do it in, like, the voice. It's just you know, it's...
Yeah.
We've gone too far.
Oh, my God. Greg Sussman is so awesome. I want to slap my graph.
Thank you.
Yeah, that changed.
He was ready to throw him under the bus, and he got a little compliment at the end. He turned away. Yeah.
I can't throw Greg under the bus.
You do it all the time.
Today's Tyreek Hill week for Sussman.
Oh, please. I don't know Tyreek Hill anywhere. I did. In our Lee the Rollins again.
You
owed
him?
No. In the GST,
oh, my God.
In the GST league, I faced Tyreek Hill last night, but the guy put him on the bench, so that was cool.
How was Tyreek Hill on the bench in that league? Who was the other option?
He benched him for Jordy Nelson, okay, Brandon Marshall, Kelvin Benjamin, and wait for it, the kicker, Kobe Fleener.
That's a terrible move.
Is it a category?
It was, that's why. It was my friend, co-owner of the Greater Street Tavern that did it. It was my friend Joe. Christopher Garrett's partner at GST.
Oh,
Joe.
I'm shocked.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Joe's a very good player.
Well, he made a very bad decision.
That he did.
It happened.
All right, let's talk about some other decisions. We talked about during the break, Blewett, that you, sir, decided to start Sterling Shepard over Danny Amendola last night. And we don't know how that's going to work out because we don't know the status of Odell Beckham. So let's give the latest on that. Odell Beckham sounds really, 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 really questionable for Sunday night. Like, you like to read tea leaves. I think we all do. And we try to get all the latest information when it comes to injured players, especially in primetime games. The tea leaves are kind of negatives. He's running in straight lines. If you listen to Inside Injuries, you check out the player cards at rotoexperts.com, inside the exclusive edge package. Use Sussmania when you check out, by the way. If you look at that, it's not good. I mean, Dr. A's very honest, saying, listen, he shouldn't come back to week three. If you look at, like, Pro Football Doctor on Twitter or whatnot, they're saying, listen, there's a high ankle sprain. He shouldn't come back until week three. It's exactly what Dr. A has told us really for a month now or 2 weeks now on Odell Beckham Jr. And it said, don't take anything away from the fact that he's running a straight line, that he's not wearing a brace, because when you have an high ankle sprain, that's not going to hurt it, right? Like, you can run straight. You can run at close to full speed. It's not a big deal. It's when you cut, it's when you jump, it's when you skip. That is when you will feel the effects of a high ankle sprain. We have not seen Odell Beckham do that. And Odell's saying, you know, he prays to God he can play. He wants to be out there with his teammates. Everything you want to hear, except I'm going to be out there. Nobody's saying that. There is a legitimate concern. I said yesterday, it's a little bit, it's probably better than 50-50 he'll be out there. I'm going to reverse that today. I think there's a less than 50% chance we see Odell Beckham on Saturday and Sunday night. And if we do, it will not be a full complement of snaps, and it will be very, very worrisome, Scott.
He told the New York Post, the quote, are you going to play? He said, I wouldn't count on it.
He said that?
Yep.
No, I don't think that was a quote, sir. I think the quote was, don't count me out yet.
I'm looking at it.
He said, that would be everywhere, and I have not seen that. If you could send me that article, that'd be great.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. So Sterling Shepard, not out of the woods yet here, Blewett. Not done yet.
No, and I think, to your point, all those things you said about his injury are true, not to mention that what happens when he stops, and how much is that going to hurt? And how much recovery time will he add to it? The dreaded high ankle sprain is that because it takes so long to heal. And he's just going to be dealing with it for the remainder of the year. And if they bring him back Sunday night because he wants to play and it's opening night, it's just flying in the face of reason.
As an Odell Beckham owner in multiple spots, I would rather him sit out game one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's – look, I do want him on the field, obviously, but I'm looking big picture. Sit out the game, get another week, and, you know, maybe you're back week two.
Paul Schwartz, New York Post.
Yep.
Says Odell Beckham, will he play? I wouldn't count it I would count it out.
It's a reporter.
Oh, yeah. You know who said that? Me. There you go, Scotty. Yeah,
you wouldn't count it out.
See?
Yeah, misread the quote.
There you go.
Bad job by me.
Nah, it happens. You don't have a
second-guess Sussman.
No, well, not because it was the Giants.
He did say that Beckham was going to play week one. He was decidedly for that.
I absolutely was decidedly for that.
I told you we
that.
Didn't know.
No, you're right. Yeah. I was absolutely decidedly for that. And I, really, up until this morning, Scott, I've been very forceful in telling you and anybody else that will listen that Odell Beckham will be out there. But it's clear that Dr. A was spot on when it came to this, about this ankle, about this high ankle sprain, and exactly what is going to happen. And Matt, you're right. Even as a fantasy owner, I don't want him out there because it's going to be infuriating when he goes out there, doesn't play a full complement of snaps, is limited, is a decoy, and you as the fantasy owner have your hand your hands are tied because you have to play because he's Odell Beckham Jr. and he will not give you anything.
Yeah, that's the situation that makes it even worse. The best possible thing I think for fantasy players is for him to be ruled out by Saturday night.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
You know, then you know what you have to do.
But
you're not going to.
But with the Giants, there's literally zero benefit.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah. No. That's not going to.
Well, here's the only thing, right? Here's the only thing. If he doesn't fly to Dallas, that's the only way that we'll know. If he doesn't make the trip to Dallas, and it possibly doesn't, right? Like if he's clearly out of his game, if he's not going to test it during warmups, he won't make the trip potentially. So there you go. That's what fantasy owners could use. And then you make a good spot, Sterling Shepard.
Right. So I have Shepard a few times. I was never in a position to draft Beckham. I was either number one overall, which I got, or a little bit too late. So I kind of wanted in on the Giants offense in one way, and I'd rather have Shepard than Marshall. I didn't want to take on the risk of Marshall. So I got Shepard pretty late. And considering what he did last year, if you see a bump in his production in year two, I'd feel really good about everywhere I drafted him, especially in a week like this where it could be even more pronounced.
Giants beat writer Dan Duggan said his wife's coworker asked if he should start Odell or Kareem Hunt. Unless Odell has 300 yards on Sunday, he's going to think I'm a genius because he told him to start Hunt. There's a beat reporter before last night's game saying start Hunt over Odell. You have to imagine he's saying that because, again, reading tea leaves, it doesn't look so great on Sunday Night Football for Odell Beckham Jr.
No, and I like the Shepard move. And you know what? I'm going to be an island in this. If you're super duper desperate, and I said it to people again yesterday, I'll take a dart throw on Roger Lewis. I will.
Let's take a call at 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. Let's bring on our buddy Kenny. Good morning, Kenny.
What's up, Kenny?
Kenny!
Kenny! All right, we're struggling with Kenny here this morning.
Kenny, it's happened with Kenny before, though.
Yeah,
maybe like he left the windows open again.
It's possible. Kenny, what's going on, buddy?
Sounds like it.
Hey, what's going on? You got me? Can you hear me now?
We hear you now, dude.
All right. What's going on, y'all? What's up, Mike Blue? That's my boy from the weekend. Baby. What's up, baby?
What's going on, Kenny? Good to hear you.
What's going on? Hey, man. I got to get some credit, man. I'm in two of my season-long leagues at Dave. Good job with the team hunt, man.
Team
hunt, man.
Thank you.
Dave called the Patriots going 16-0. It was it was Matt that actually called the
Dave is the bad predictions. Matt's all the good ones.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Hey, Mr. Business Thinker, you got to give Scotty some credit. You was eating his lunch a couple weeks ago about this Odell Beckham news. You got to give him a pat on the back here, buddy.
Hey, listen.
Get him and Dr. A down the call. Buddy.
Yeah, listen. I said it a moment ago. It was literally until yesterday, or this morning, actually, where I've said Odell Beckham Jr. was going to play. Today's really the first day where I'm like,
oh crap, he might not. I've been the way too positive one on that. Scotty's kind of trying to bring me back down to earth repeatedly. I'll give Doc Dre that, those two.
I'll give you Tyreek Hill.
There you go.
Yeah,
this is too complimentary. I'd like to go at it.
What a nice like tactful atmosphere it is, professional without the fantasy executive.
Nah, it's a little too nice, to be honest, which is kind of creeping me out.
Well, you suck. I think I was going at it a little bit. I was getting riled up a little bit earlier. I think we'll continue to do so in a bit as well, because when we come back here on the program, you mentioned Amir Abdullah a little while ago. Let's talk about Amir Abdullah and Carlos Hyde, both when we return. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot, because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Here on the Roto Experts of the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Craig Sussman and Mike Blewett hanging out this morning like we do if a traditional people fill in. They get ducks thrown at them.
It's the first time I've seen that, actually.
Actually, I think I've thrown the ducks at Mike Blewett before.
I think it's just a Mike Blewett tradition.
It's loosening things up.
Yeah, I gotta loosen him up this morning.
Like, Mike's always wearing a suit and like looking really sharp, so you throw a duck at him to like loosen him
up. Yeah, he's gotta be loosened up. He looks great. He looks great there. He's gonna be hanging out all day with us, or are you leaving this morning after this morning?
Well, I'll be here 9 to 11. I'll hang out if you want after the show.
I think it'd be nice.
I'll guest on Best Friends Forever if you like.
I mean, you're kind of a little too older for the demographic, but you know.
I've never been invited on the show.
Again, too old for the demographic.
Yeah, you got to be able to say Kareem.
I love that you're doing this with me, Scotty. Okay, so I mentioned going to break both Carlos Hyde and Amir Abdullah. Let's start with Amir Abdullah, because I think it was like the Lions website or something. So definitely along the lines of, yeah, they may play Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick together to keep the backfield guessing. And it seems like one of those things that you read about in the preseason, where you read about in the summer, you read about on a team website, that you're just like, this is not true. And that was like my takeaway. And I felt the same takeaway when it was Carlos Hyde yesterday saying, yeah, me and Matt Breida, we're going to be thundering lightning out there. I'm just like, dude, Matt Breida was like 17th on the depth chart like 4 days ago. Like, let's slow the road here a little bit. What are your takeaway from these two comments here, Blue?
So Matt and I were on the same page with Carlos Hyde all during the preseason. I thought anything other than him being on the team and being the workhorse, I thought was fake news, as Matt said during one of the breaks. As far as Abdullah is concerned, that entire Lions running back core is as nebulous now as it was a few months ago. And Corey Parson and I had Dave Burkett, who is a beat writer for the Lions, on months ago, talking about Amir Abdullah. And Corey was all in on Amir Abdullah going into the interview. And the guy's like, Dave said, if you have your fantasy hopes pinned on Amir Abdullah this year, you're going to be in trouble. That's the beat writer for the Lions. So Corey switched on a dime on Amir Abdullah months ago, and I still feel the same way.
I'll say this about Amir Abdullah. I think I own zero shares of him, but I am terrified that he's going to be good. Like, I'm going to miss out on that whole boat.
Right, and
I can see where he's coming from, sorry, but because I'm not in on Abdullah either. But the Lions didn't do anything to improve that running game at all. It's like, you know, do they know something about Abdullah that us fantasy experts don't? Does the front office?
I think he's a talented player, but they're working without their left tackle, who's gone basically for the year. They haven't announced that he's officially out for the year. He could be IRD designated to return. And he's working with a guy, Theo Riddick, we know is going to catch passes. Sure. So we're dealing with a guy who's had a couple of injury issues. He's a really polished back, but they don't run the ball that much. They still don't. Even when they drafted Taylor Decker and they started to fix the offensive line, they have the most lopsided pass-to-run ratio in the entire league.
Yeah, this is a team that likes to pass the ball significantly, and ultimately, I get what you're saying, Matt, about being nervous just because you don't own any Amir Abdullah anywhere. That like he's a talented player that could ultimately go off, but I don't think trying to read the tea leaves here a little bit. That I just don't see this monster role because of what you're saying, Blue. This isn't a team that's going to run the ball 30 times a game. Right. It's just not going to happen. And that's why, even when they do, yeah, Amir Abdullah is going to get his carries and there's going to be games. He looks good. When they get into the red zone, there's no guarantees he's a goal line back. They love to throw it to Theo Riddick down there anyway. I just think the upside for fantasy purposes, excuse me, when it comes to Amir Abdullah, is just capped a little bit.
I stand by this. I was wrong. The Patriots aren't going undefeated. But I do believe the Lions are going to lose at least 10 games this year. I don't think I think they got a really tough schedule. They pulled a lot of games out late last year. They've been fortunate against bad teams. Matthew Stafford, look, the Lions have had a bad organization for a long time, but I think against like 500 teams 500 or better, it's like 5-43, something god-awful like that. And I like the talent of Abdullah, but you got Riddick there, like you guys say. It's the short pass is more of the run game for this team. It's been more of the successful option for them. But I do remain terrified that Amir Abdullah will be good, and I'm shut out.
As of 2 days ago, the most expensive bet on the board in Vegas for over-under win totals on the year in the NFL, the most second most expensive bet on the board was the Lions under 8. Yeah, so Vegas is absolutely predicting that the Lions will lose somewhere in the range of 9 or 10 games. The most expensive bet was the Jets under 4.5.
People are expecting Detroit, after kind of skating by last year with some fluky wins, kind of building up against bad teams, when they had to face the meat of the schedule, they need to win like one game, and they just could not do it.
Well, Stafford was hurt down the stretch, too, though.
That's true.
Yeah. They lost their last three. I believe last year.
Stafford was not 100% down the stretch.
I think they lost their last three last year. I think they were 9-4 trying to get a playoff bid. They lost their last three and backed into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Stafford was healthy, though, that team was playing a lot better.
They did pull. Look, to his credit, I like Stafford.
It's fine.
I think he's going to be a tough go, and I think they open up against a really tough opponent that had a down year last year that I look to bounce back this year in the Arizona Cardinals.
You know what's crazy? What was it about Matthew Stafford? He's going to be the highest paid player in NFL history. Isn't that interesting? The highest paid player in NFL history.
I personally thought that Matt Stafford, from an NFL standpoint, is overrated. Fantasy is a different discussion.
Fantasy's fine.
The money is what it is. We all know this comes in cycles, and soon he won't be the highest paid player. But as quickly as he gets it, he'll lose that title. But
it's more the market.
I'm saying in NFL history, because he's going to have these two monster contracts.
It's more the market, though. It's so difficult to have any sort of a remote franchise quarterback on your roster. You got to lock up that guy. And, you know, to Stafford's, when you're in his corner, what is he? He's had Calvin Johnson, he's had Golden Tate, he hasn't had much else. He's never had the running game or defensive support. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are like around Matthew Stafford that kind of bring the whole team around him down.
You know, that's why I preface it. It's pretty much been a garbage organization, if we're being honest here. Yeah. I mean, the Lions have been lackluster. Made some really terrible draft selections, and stuff like that.
GM turnovers, coaching turnovers, yeah. All that kind of stuff leads to instability, especially at GMs turning over like that. You know that the organization is wayward when that stuff starts happening.
Hey, look, I'm a Bills fan, and it's been 17 years since we went to the playoffs, so.
Yeah, I get it.
Sorry for trolling Matt last night. I did troll Matt on Twitter last night.
No, but you but
it was a great Al Michaels quote.
Why are you apologizing for trolling? This is,
I don't know.
I mean, I called people out at the top of the hour.
The Al Michaels quote was pretty good.
I totally agreed with. I was thinking the same thing.
He said, New England has better Buffalo players than Buffalo has.
That was funny.
That was great. On the other side, when it comes to San Francisco, going back to the Matt Breida, Carlos Hyde thing, do you think there's anything there?
I picked up Matt Breida in a couple of leagues.
But did you pick him up? Did you pick him up because you think he's going to play, or did you pick him up because, all right, if Carlos Hyde gets hurt,
in case.
Right, a guy that always gets hurt. I have the guy.
In case of emergency, break glass.
Exactly.
It is more in case. I agree with that. But he has looked really good, and he has made a statement. I mean, everything you heard about Joe Williams and all that kind of stuff, that's been Matt Breida.
Andy Saxton is all over the Breida
band. Oh yeah, no, he did. We drafted him yesterday in our classic, the 14 teamer. And we did not have Carlos Hyde. I do think there's some opportunity there for him, but I really like Carlos Hyde this year. It's just about being healthy. That's the main goal with him.
That's where Breida comes in. You know, Carlos Hyde, very talented football player, has had a bad team around him, but has not been able to stay healthy. That's why he only has a dozen rushing touchdowns in his whole career to this point. But very violent running style, you know, to the point where, you know, it's as dangerous to him as a defender, and that's why Breida is relevant.
Let's see, Matt Breida. Well, the good thing here, Carlos Hyde owner, is Matt Breida is only 5'11", 190, right? Like, he's not this, like, big bruising back that's going to theoretically steal goal line carries from Carlos Hyde or anything like that. So, like, that's the good news if you're a Hyde owner that you have the thunder to the lightning. Like, I think if anything, Matt Breida, all right, maybe play a couple third downs, catch some passes. I don't think he's something you're going to have to worry about from, like, taking a majority of carries away from
and
your
And how much out. Work does he get, actually, if Hyde goes down?
That's a good question.
If he's at only 190 pounds.
That's a good question, Scotty. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think anyone know the answer to that.
Can he gain 18 pounds in 2 weeks?
Probably so.
Yeah.
You on your diet, you can, that's for sure. Just making a joke. Come on, guy. How are you not laughing at that, Modica? That was a great joke.
I missed it, sorry.
Like, you're built like a celery stick, so in comparison.
That is a compliment.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a
no,
compliment.
You turned sideways. I can't see you. You're
Thank you.
Painfully thin.
By the way,
here's something else. You said that he's too old for the demographic of the BFFs?
Yes.
Eric Young is 37 years old.
Well, Eric Young is our superstar.
Yeah, but he's... So the demographic changes now.
What
if you,
is the demo?
If you want under Eric 35, Young, if you want to 30? Say Eric Young is part of the team, you know, the demographic is also older as well.
Well, he is a wrestler.
He's a wrestler.
I'm not saying I understand what you have on the show, but he is 37 years old.
Well, he's also Eric Young, and he would kick my ass. So I, you know,
the full demographic doesn't fit, though, is what you're saying.
I'm just telling you how I feel.
It's a moving target, Scott. Yeah,
he's moving the goalposts
demo.
Right now. Yeah.
I will say it is funny. Yesterday, I was going through some of my draft boards from like July and stuff like that, and just seeing like players
where they
ended up now as we reach the season.
Probably so. It's always very funny to look back and do that. I wanted to do that at some point. Unfortunately, we never had the opportunity to do so. Hey, on the other side of the break, I want to bring up two guys that I think we need to keep an eye out as we get closer and closer to kickoff on Sunday, and that is both Jamison Crowder and Amari Cooper. Jamison Crowder didn't practice yesterday. Amari Cooper's been banged up with a knee injury for a while here, and he's been limited in practice. Limited is obviously different than not practicing, but I think it's two guys with keep an eye on. So let's talk a little bit more about those when we come back, as well as going back to Detroit and talking about what Jim Bob Cooter had to say about Eric Ebron. Stick around. It's the Road to Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Here with you this morning. And I mentioned before the break about Jamison Crowder missing practice here yesterday. Scott, I never like to see midweek additions to the injury report. I don't think anybody does. Do we have reason to be legitimately concerned about Jamison Crowder?
I think it's kind of the thing where you have to wait till Friday night. It's Friday evening. You're going to get a lot of more clear injury reports by tonight. Let's see how he practices, etc. What inside injuries has to say about that. You know, we got these brand new player cards on rotoexperts.com for exclusive Edge members that have also the inside injuries area that will tell you exactly what's going on with a player. Look, like you said, it's never good to have an injury, but you know, he was able to get in a limited practice, so I think you just got to wait and see. And you know, you always got to tell the fantasy owner that too, because the fantasy owner wants fast food. You know, they want Burger King. They want White Castle. You know, when it comes to their injury reports, and it just doesn't exist. You have to say, okay, look, you know, you got to wait until Friday night. Right now, inside injuries on the Roto Experts player card, injury risk category high, health performance factor below average. And overall injury risk, 26%. Health performance factor right now at 52%.
There you go, the injury player card.
It's not that good for Crowder. But
no, it's not.
Especially in a week where you're missing Dolphins and you're missing Buccaneers receivers, you might have to go with Crowder regardless. And you know, Josh Doctson has not done anything in the preseason.
Although they're talking about Josh Doctson yesterday. People were talking about Josh Doctson yesterday.
Well, hopefully the prophecy is fulfilled with Pryor, so we won't have to worry about anything.
The prophecy fulfilled. And Mike Lewis shakes his head yes and repeatedly in a big smile.
I'm all in on that. I would love to see that. If it can increase Pryor's value, I'm good. I didn't end up targeting Crowder in any drafts. I didn't have an issue with him at all, but I just didn't pick up Crowder in any drafts, but I had Pryor a couple times over.
All right, there you go. You know what was awesome? So we talked a little bit about this. We were talking about Kareem Hunt, and someone asked me on Twitter, Kareem Hunt or Dalvin Cook? And I said Dalvin Cook, and I felt very stupid because he, you know, lost something 45 points later. There's Kareem Hunt. But what was really good to read about Dalvin Cook yesterday, and it got me like my hopes up a little bit, was, you know, they asked Latavius Murray, all right, so you're a goal line back, right? He's like, well, like we don't know about that yet. And I was just like, yes, you are just a slow, lonely backup, Latavius Murray.
Yeah, you have to be excited for Monday night when he faces off at home versus the Saints. Look, Cook, I honestly thought he was going to Carolina 7th overall. The combine crushed his draft stock, fell to the second round, but this was the guy last year. If you did the deep dives and stuff, Pro Football Focus, Dalvin Cook was the most elusive runner in college football. Kareem Hunt was number two.
Yeah, and far as you know, saying Hunt over Cook, I know Hunt did what he did, but Cook hasn't played yet, and he's facing the Saints, and in two leagues, I have both Hunt and Cook, and I have ranked both together next to each other in my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com.
Hey, do you think this is breaking news that Odell Beckham Jr. bought all of his teammates Casper mattresses? Do you think that means he's going to play on Sunday?
I'd be pretty pissed off. I would want something. I was in Bloomingdale's when I first moved back to New York, and unfortunately, I walked into the wrong room because every mattress was like $17,000. I didn't even know they sold mattresses for that much.
Right.
But if I'm a teammate of Odell, I want one of those mattresses.
Not a Casper mattress.
Unless Casper's looking for a spokesman,
which they probably did.
What's breaking about that is Casper did exactly what they wanted to do. They got you to talk about it without even paying a cent for it. And all that means is that Odell is just becoming this widespread spokesman. You know, it's like, Yeah, I'm not going to get a free pub, but like, how many times did I see Odell's commercial last night?
A lot.
For a cell phone company. And then I will bring this up because, you know, if you do a search on FNTSY YouTube, I got a, like an extensive interview one-on-one with Odell from 2 years ago. And, you know, it's because of Lenovo computers. You know, Odell Beckham
he's
Jr.
Only, for the record, he's only doing that because he got a free Lenovo computer.
I did.
That's the reason he's buying Lenovo. Yes.
Did you get a Casper mattress?
I did not. And I should have done that.
There is one way for Odell to get all of his teammates the $17,000 mattresses. Pay the man. Giants have not paid the man.
Relax, my player.
I know. Relax. You're a Giants fan. I'm just saying.
Do you think that's cool that he got all his teammates' mattresses?
I think it's cool. It's a nice gesture.
Yeah. Russell Wilson got all of his teammates. Russell Wilson got all of his teammates' first-class plane tickets. And, like, I got killed for that when I mentioned
it. I'm not kidding. I would have been like...
Didn't he write those off?
Do better.
What?
Didn't he write those off?
Actually, after they lost
the Super Bowl, he took the entire team to Hawaii. The entire team to Hawaii. And he didn't write all of that off. No. And even if you don't, it's still a nice gesture.
But didn't Russell Wilson, before that, they everyone signed the affidavit for hanging out with him?
Yeah, but you know what, though?
Yeah, but! You can't hang out with me unless you sign an affidavit.
But you know what, though? He's just trying to protect his, you know, his privacy.
These are his friends!
Not everybody who signs it is his friend.
You asked your friends to sign an affidavit. Are you going to give me... I thought I should make you sign an affidavit to
hang out
with
me. He's not the most famous guy in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not the most famous guy in the NFL. It's a weird thing to do.
He's protecting his privacy.
Hey, speaking about Russell Wilson, yesterday Darryl Bevell said ultimately that... he was bad last year, but it wasn't because he was bad. It was because he was injured. And I know, Scott, you've kind of been preaching this for a while. Matt, you've been preaching this for a while. And listen, Russell Wilson was significantly hurt last year with leg injuries, and it really sapped him of that speed and that ability to maneuver around the pocket, which he's so damn good at. And this year, he's 1,000% healthy. But the point I bring up, and I know I brought this up either yesterday or the day before, was ultimately is how long will that perfect health last? Like, I agree. Like, I picked Russell Wilson as my MVP, as you guys both know. And I picked him as an MVP last year, and I'm doing it again this year because he has that ability, right? He can put this – I think he has grown to the quarterback. He can put his team on his back and win some games. However, I'm just as nervous as – I was last year when it comes to the injury because his offensive line is so pitiful that, yes, he can maneuver around very, very well. But if he continues to take the hits that he was forced to take last year because of the horrible offensive line, we're in the same position we were last year.
Well, I don't know if we're quite in the same position when you break certain details around it. Now, first off, Wilson played through all the injuries.
Yes, he did.
And by about week 12... he started to be better again. Not quite himself.
Definitely.
But Wilson also came in. His teammates teased him about it. He came in more, I guess I know the way you could say it, like chubby than he's ever been before. This year, he slimmed back down. He's more mobile, and he's looking great in the preseason. And while the offensive line was bad last year, and it's still not ideal, it's better than it was last season. Now, losing George Fant, you never want to see anybody get injured. But he was easily their worst lineman. I think having Abadeo in there is actually an improvement. Plus, they picked up Jokel, who might play better at guard. You know, they also picked up Aboushier, who's and Mark Lewinsky is better. After another year, Justin Britt is the best lineman on that team, and he's pretty good. And Jermaine Ifedi was their top draft pick last year, and now he's switching to right tackle. That offensive line is not quite as bleak as it was last year. And Russell, they also do this because Russell Wilson can evade the rush and make things happen on the run. And if he can do that because he's more slimmed down, I think there's more reason to be slightly optimistic.
In 2015, he had a 68% completion percentage. He threw for 34 touchdowns. And when you look at the yards per attempt, 8.3, adjusted yards per attempt, 9.0. I really like Wilson. I love getting him. If I miss out on that top three, it's Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan. I'm totally cool with
it. Yeah, and he did a lot of that in that season from week 10 on.
You know he does extensive offensive line analysis inside the RotoWire's exclusive edge package?
Mike Blewett,
you are here, sir.
That would be me, yes.
How bad is the Seattle Seahawks offensive line?
So when I did the rankings, I think I had them in the 29 or 30 range, but I did that with a caveat. Sort of in line with what Scott was saying. they did make a lot of changes, so there's an opportunity for them to improve greatly upon last year. Luke Jokel's not the pressure of a left tackle anymore. As Scott mentioned, George Fant going down hurts depth, but they've made a lot of acquisitions. Not to the one guy he didn't mention, they drafted Ethan Posich. So they have better depth now.
In the last 2.5 weeks, too.
Yeah, they have better depth now than they did. So do I expect them to finish around 29 or 30? No. I think they'll be improved upon that and hopefully keep Wilson healthier. I mean, his sack numbers have been consistently around the low 40s. But last year he was sacked for the most yards he was ever sacked for, and obviously he suffered that ankle sprain or knee tweak, whatever it was, that kept him hampered for a long time.
Did he pay you to improve the Seahawks offensive line ranking?
Well, no, I have not improved it. Good. It stays at around 29 or 30.
Said Odell was going to play week one.
I think there's only two teams that are worse. Or the Jets I had ranked dead last.
Yes, of course.
And I'm trying to think who 31 might have been. But they're pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, they are pretty bad. And I know, Scott, you talking about they traded for two offensive linemen. They traded two offensive linemen when they lost George Fant. And if they were let go by their teams that late in the summer, they're probably not very good either, to be fair.
It's for depth. We're talking about the depth.
They are depth.
Losing Fant while he's injured is addition by subtraction.
I disagree.
The guy never played football before last year.
Then the Seahawks wouldn't have put him as their starting left tackle.
It was a mistake.
Take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number two. Come on next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning, here hanging out with you. I appreciate the sentiment here today. Gentlemen, with you. Hey, remember, FantasyFactor.com is running a brand new NFL Survivor contest. $1,000, winner take all. And the best part about that is you're still getting the game, even though you may have lost last night with the New England Patriots because you didn't listen to Scott, who told you to take the Rams. We're talking to you, Jake Seeley. You can win $1,000. It's not over yet. It's free to enter. Simply sign up at www.fantasyfactor.com. Make your pick each week. The last man standing takes home $1,000. Someone's going to win $1,000. Might as well be you. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site that is exclusively single-entry contest. www.fantasyfactor.com. Sign up now. That is the way to win. It's free money. You put it in. Cost nothing. You win $1,000. Must be nice. There you go. FantasyFactor.com. It sucks. Scott's going to win. It doesn't suck. Scott's going to win, but we're all going to win. It's Road Experts in the Morning. Scott Engel, sponsor of Survivor Power Rankings.
We got the Rams. We're riding on the Rams.
We're riding on the Rams this week.
Yes, I feel good about it.
It's good. It's better.
I want that money.
You got two quarterbacks that you can't have confidence in, but you know, outside of that, the Rams are a better team all around than the Colts.
Did you pick the Rams because of Cooper Kupp?
What? No, but it's a nice coincidence.
I'm just playing with Scott.
I know you are.
Did you pivot away from the Texans because you figured too many people be on them?
No, just Scott Tolzien on the road against that defense. I just, you know, I look at it as like two things. You know, I don't think they really have a prayer of winning. The Rams are going to be better. They're better just... You know, forget the quarterback position. You know, they have a better running game. They have a better defense. I don't think Tolzien could do much against that defense.
I think it's a good call, Scott.
Plus the fact that, like, how many opportunities are you really going to have to pick the Rams again this year?
Listen, I mean, Scotty did his power rankings yesterday on the program. You can listen to that. Those on demand. See how he kind of got to his pick here over the Los Angeles Rams. And I think I don't hate it. I like Buffalo more, personally. That's me. The reason that I don't like Houston necessarily blew it is because Tom Savage is very bad at football. Not as bad as Philip Dorsett, but he's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I'm not trusting Tom Savage in week one against the Jacksonville defense. That should be better.
Good news is, for the Texans fans, the opposing quarterback, also not very good at football.
No, very bad. No. He's even worse.
The fantasy magician, Blake Bortles.
The fantasy magician.
It should be a good defensive matchup, though. I'm looking forward to that.
Could be good. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it should be cool. It should be very fun. A couple more news and notes before we kick off our number three. And that was the fact that, as I said, Eric Ebron, Jim Bob Cooter's like, listen, we'll figure out his role as we go along. I was like, are you kidding me?
Look, everybody's been on Ebron. I've gotten to the point where I've gone contrarian. I stood up for Hunter Henry because, look, I get the love. And if healthy, he should have a big role. They need an end zone target. Anquan Boldin was kind of like a tight end last year, so he's gone. I do think at some point Kenny Golladay will emerge in this offense and have a defined role, as this season goes on. But you have to like Ebron. As long as he's healthy and on the field, I think he's going to be a target. I mean, that's kind of why I like Marvin Jones, too. I mean, there's just somebody's got to get the ball.
Somebody is going to have to get the ball, indeed. John Brown says he's ready for week one, Mike Blewett. Are you ready to put John Brown in your lineup?
More so than I would Eric Ebron. I have not been on that bandwagon this summer. But, I'll take a shot with John Brown. He's the type of guy that if he's ready to go week one, that is the type of guy who's high risk, high reward, right? Because he's constantly banged up. But when he's ready to play, you got to feel good about him going against Detroit.
Anyhow, Jerron Brown.
Sussman's face was actually the highlight of that.
Jerron Brown is like starting over John Brown, and people asking me if I'm desperate, should I use Jerron Brown?
I think it's starting as in quotation.
Yeah, like Deion Lewis was starting last night.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk more about the Patriots. Let's talk more about the Kansas City Chiefs. Is Mike Lyon coming up this hour as well? And we preview all 12 games from Sunday. Road Wipers in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.